Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
What is genuine spiritual life? Anyone ever think about that? Genuine spiritual life. Mostly people tend to think that, well, anything spiritual is spiritual. There are so many spiritual paths, and they're all spiritual. As many paths, what is it? Jato mat tato pat. That's the original saying. Wrong saying. As many opinions, that many paths there are. That's the idea. You've heard that one before, right? And we often hear very spiritual sounding words such as harmony, peace, love, compassion, all embracing and things like this. However, in Bhagavad Gita, which is an exposition of spiritual knowledge, Krishna, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, who is also the object of spiritual knowledge, spiritual love, he delineates what is actually spiritual. First of all, if there's to be spiritual life, we should know what it means, what spiritual means, right? Different people have different ideas of what spiritual means. But we should know clearly, it should not be vague. There's some idea, maybe because modern science is presented as if it's very clear, which is doubtful, but they present it like that, that spiritual life must be fuzzy or fluffy, if you like that word. But the beginning of spiritual life is first of all to know what does spiritual mean. Spiritual is different to material. Now many times people think that materialism means to be interested in lots of money and prestige and position and all this kind of thing. And that to be spiritual means to be not interested in all these kinds of things. And in the 1960s and 1970s, there was the hippie movement, which was trying to be spiritual by not being interested in gross materialism, but it ended up in lots of drugs and lots of sex, which those who were members of the hippie movement might have thought was spiritual. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, first of all, teaches what is spirit as distinguished from matter. It's not just not being interested in matter, but one should first of all know what is spirit. So Krishna defines that matter basically is the stuff that the universe is made of. That is bhumirapo nalo vayo kangmano buddhir evacha ahankaram ityang me bhina prakritir ashtadha. These are the Sanskrit words for the eight elements of matter: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, false ego. It doesn't exactly fit the periodic table. It's a different concept of elements altogether. Then Krishna says, aparem itas tvanyang prakritiṃ vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Krishna says that apart from matter, the elements of matter, there are the living beings who make the universe go round. You've heard the saying, love makes the world go round. Well, there's no love between elements, between machines. It's the persons. You and I, we are all persons, is it not? If from what we are taught, we should be just machines, some kind of combination of chemicals. But I am not chemicals. You are not chemicals. Feelings, desires, emotions, these are not experienced by chemicals. We are living beings. We are not the body. That is the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita, of genuine spiritual knowledge, is to know that the body, we are in a body, but I am not the body. When this body ceases, which it certainly will, I will not cease to exist. And before this body came into existence, we were in another body, and we're going from body to body to body. So genuine spiritual life is based, first of all, on the clear spiritual knowledge of what is spiritual. Spirit means that which is different from matter. And in our present situation in the material world, due to ignorance of this spiritual knowledge, we are getting body after body after body, and we are suffering in the material world. So genuine spiritual life means, the first principle is to know what is the difference between spirit and matter, and to extricate spirit from matter. Because in the material world, or the material situation is quite different to the spiritual situation. The spiritual situation is Sat-Chit-Ananda. You've all heard these terms, Sat-Chit-Ananda? They're very common in spiritual circles. Sat means eternal. Chit means full of consciousness or knowledge. And Ananda means bliss. So matter, by definition, is asat. Everything in this material world, nothing stays the same. These very bodies, people think, well, we don't believe in reincarnation. They may or may not believe in reincarnation, but practically we're changing bodies at every second. The same body that we all entered this room in has now changed. Imperceptibly, but the body is always changing. Everything in this material world. These buildings weren't here at one time, and at some time they won't be here. This city called Dublin at some time wasn't here, and at some time in the future there won't be any city called Dublin. This landmass, which is called Ireland, wasn't here at some time, and at some point in time it will cease to exist. The whole universe wasn't in existence, and at some time it will cease to exist. But we are spiritual living beings, we are eternal. And we are full of consciousness. Matter does not have consciousness. That's one point which our dear staunchly atheistic scientist friends don't seem to catch on to. They think that consciousness or life is a product of matter only. But matter doesn't have consciousness. You can put a sensor on and program it so that if a red light shines on it, a voice can say, "I see a red light." But the machine doesn't see a red light, but you see a red light, we see a red light, we are conscious of that. So matter doesn't have consciousness, and in material existence, we don't have clear consciousness of who we are, we don't have clear knowledge of who we are. In material existence, we have to get born again and again and again and die again and again and again. But spiritual existence means eternal existence with clear knowledge who we are and full bliss, full happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. Anyone not want to be happy? Even if you say, "I don't want to be happy," that's a desire. That means you want it. That means your idea of happiness is defined in a different way. That's all. Maybe some masochism. So everyone wants to be happy. And I would be happy if you'd all turn off your cell phones. If you want to make me happy. If you don't want to make me happy, that's up to you. But it really does help if you turn off your cell phone during this lecture. So, everything that every living being does at every moment is for the sake of getting happiness, or at least avoiding distress. I've said this in practically every lecture I give, but you can see, even the plants, they grow toward the light, because the plant probably doesn't have any develop consciousness, but whatever little consciousness is in the plant, thinks, let me grow toward the light. I like the light. Let me get in the light. So everything we do is for the sake of happiness, but in this material world, in material existence, we cannot avoid distress. However much we may think we are being very spiritual by talking about world peace and universal harmony and cosmic love, the fact is that in the material situation, we have to die. We have to suffer disease, old age, and suffering in so many ways. So, spiritual existence means that existence where we're always blissful. That doesn't mean just a little bit happy, but fully blissful, unendingly blissful. That is spiritual existence. So genuine spiritual life, first of all, means to know what is the difference between spirit and matter, and to give us that path by which we can come to a situation where we no longer have to die, and in which we can be restated in our natural spiritual position, which means no death, no ignorance, and no having to go to work on Monday morning, and all other kinds of things which we're subject to in material existence. Full bliss. So genuine spiritual knowledge means to know what is spirit, that we are spiritual, and that there is a supreme spirit, who in English is called God. The fact that God has been much misrepresented in Western culture doesn't mean that there isn't a God. There is a supreme controller. And his name is, any guesses? Anyone? Krishna. Name is Krishna. Okay, I didn't give you much time to guess. He actually has many names. But Krishna is the central name because it means all attractive. Krishna is all attractive. It means he's the supreme controller, he's the supreme wealthy, he's the supreme powerful, he's the supreme famous, he's the supreme beautiful, he's the supremely knowledgeable, he's supremely detached, he's not trying to exploit anyone, he's supremely merciful, supremely loving and kind and supreme in all the best ways. And if you don't want to be friends with Krishna, well, he can be supreme in other ways also. If you don't want to be nice, he can also be not nice to you. So clear spiritual knowledge should be there. And there should be a clear, in genuine spiritual life, there should be a process for reviving our spiritual position. It's not do it yourself. Do it yourself, spiritual life. There's no do it. There's a clear process. There is spiritual knowledge, there is spiritual existence, and there is a process to come to the point of awakening our clear consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means clear consciousness, where we can see everything clearly. There's it. Krishna gives an example in Bhagavad Gita, just like the sun rising. When the sun rises, we can see everything clearly. Otherwise, with a torchlight in the dark, we can just see a little shaft of life, but nothing very clear. Living in the city, you may not have any experience of what that means, but if you go away from the grid, then you can see how, what a difference, how you're trying to find something at night, and then when the sun rises, everything becomes clear. So there may have been in various cultures throughout the world many people who had many insights into the nature of the human condition and the suffering of the material world and somewhat spiritual insights, but no clear understanding, no clear knowledge. So a genuine spiritual path should give us clear spiritual knowledge and a clear path to attain that spiritual knowledge and spiritual activity, spiritual realization, there should be some commitment. It's not that one can become spiritually advanced just by imagining oneself to be spiritually. I'm feeling very spiritual. Well, it's nice to feel very spiritual, but we should know what actual spiritual existence means, to be beyond the miseries of material life. Real spiritual existence means where we're no longer affected by anything in this world. It's not such an easy thing, because our consciousness at the present time is absorbed in trying to enjoy this material world, which binds us to this material world. So there should be commitment to a pure way of life. There can't be genuine spiritual life unless there's purity of activity. You can't eat lamb chops for breakfast and become spiritually advanced, and not even for lunch or for dinner or at all. Spiritual life rests on some basic principles: mercy, austerity, cleanliness, truth. Unless these are there, how can there be genuine spiritual life? Unless there is mercy, how can there be spiritual progress? So, for people who are eating meat, there cannot be any proper spiritual progress, because it's unnecessarily causing severe suffering. For those who are not very clean, there cannot be any proper spiritual life. For persons who are not austere, who don't follow any principles, who just whatever they feel like doing, you just do whatever you like and indulge yourself. What do you want to do it? Do it. If it feels good, do it. That is a trap. Because if it feels good, it means we're acting on the platform of the mind, not on the platform of the soul. So there must be some restrictions. There must be commitment. There must be purity. There must be truth. We should know what is the truth. We can't make spiritual advancement by vaguely having some notions, but we must know what is reality, be educated in that. So, much of what goes on in the name of spiritualism, unfortunately, is some kind of hocus pocus, getting in touch with your inner baby and doing some mantra by which you can become God, and chant some mantra and feel yourself one with the universe, or doing yoga and kundalini and all that. I mean, actually there is a process, kundalini yoga, but that is extremely difficult, extremely dangerous unless it's guided properly. Even if it's guided properly, it's extremely dangerous. And it's not based on clear knowledge of what the ultimate goal of life is anyway. There's no proper understanding of who is Krishna and what is our relationship to him. So in the name of spiritual life, there's a lot of cheating goes on. There are many different groups who they offer different paths, some of them charging exorbitant fees for their courses. And in the name of spiritual life, there are many people who teach how to personality development and how to get on in the world, how to cope with the world. But real spiritual life is not how to cope with the world, it's how to get out of this world. We don't belong in this world. How to cope with it, that will come automatically if we realize that we don't belong in this world, but we have to live in this world, but our relationship is not with this world. But how to cope with this world and how to cope with stress and all these things while we go on with our career advancement, that's got nothing to do with spiritual life. That's totally material. So a lot of cheating goes on in the name of spiritual life, but genuine spiritual life means to understand what is actually reality. What is our normal position? Our normal position is to be joyful. But there's where is the joy in life which is simply based on ignorance, in which we are trained from the beginning in the school and just to work, to get a job so we can get money and then we can live and then we die, and no knowledge whatsoever of who we actually are and what the purpose of life is. And actually, any intelligent person should ask, well, what happens after death? But that question is not even allowed to be asked in our culture. And in the name of so-called spiritual life, who's discussing this? It's all about feeling good. So, what happens after death? That should be the question that's famous in the life of the Buddha, as he's called. That when he realized that, or he saw, there is old age. Will I have to go through old age? Yes. There is sickness. Will I have to get sick? Yes. There is death. Will I have to die? Yes. Well, what are we sitting in this palace trying to enjoy ourselves for? What is life all about? What are we doing in this world? Why do we have to suffer? How can we get free from that? So the Buddha is said to have meditated and attained nirvana. Exactly, he didn't say what is the ultimate goal of life, who is Krishna, but he had enough sense to realize that simply living in this world without knowledge of who we are and why we want to be happy and we want to live forever, but that we are forced to suffer, we're forced to die, that's not living at all. It's not living at any level higher than the animals or plants. So, we should understand what is the truth of our existence. That is offered by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Those of you who have not studied Bhagavad Gita, please do so. That's the best thing you can do in your life, and to follow the teachings in Bhagavad Gita. It may take many lifetimes for someone to come to this knowledge. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate. After many births, someone who comes to actual knowledge surrenders to me. So it may take many lifetimes, but now you have the opportunity. You're interested enough to sacrifice your Sunday afternoon, which is considered the best time of the week by most people, to come and hear something about spiritual knowledge. So why not take it a step further, and another step, and another step, and step right out of this material condition and into the spiritual world? The guidebook for that is Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna teaches who we are, why we're suffering, that we are suffering in this world. Most people don't even see that. I mean, everyone sees it, but it's a case of paschanapi na paschati. We see, but we don't see. There's an interesting story in Mahabharata. Well, it's an anecdote of Emperor of the world, actually he was usurped emperor of the world, but anyway, he'd seen the world, he'd been in contact with beings from higher planets, he had heard many histories of this world and other worlds, he had been in contact with wise people throughout his life. He was asked a question. What is the most amazing thing in the whole... what is the most amazing thing? What is the most amazing thing? So he had all kinds of knowledge of this world and things beyond this planet. He'd seen and heard about all kinds of things, and his reply was, Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti hayam alayam sheshas tavara icchanti kimascharya matavparam. He said that every day we see so many creatures are dying, and we think we're making plans how I will remain happy here. I will stay here. We don't think I have to die also. He said, this is the most amazing thing. This illusion of seeing that everyone has to die, everyone has to suffer, but thinking that somehow it won't happen to me. The ostrich with his head in the sand complex. So, one should understand this clearly, that we are spiritual beings, that by nature we are eternal, by nature we are full of bliss, by nature our consciousness is clear, but in our present situation we are forced to suffer birth, death, old age and disease and all kinds of miseries. So in human life we should utilize the God-given intelligence to find a solution to this. And the guidebook for that is Bhagavad Gita. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that very few people search for the truth. Most people are not interested. And of those who search for the truth and even make some progress, very few come to the real point, the highest point, which is to know Krishna. So we see that many people become interested in spiritual life, but somehow many of them at the beginning they get sidetracked, and even some become interested in Krishna consciousness, which means the highest standard of spiritual consciousness. Of course, everyone will say our path is the best, but we invite you to study and use your intelligence to see that this Krishna consciousness means the highest possible platform of consciousness. So many people see it, but not that many people take it up. You may say, well, how come this Krishna consciousness, they're not, if it's so great, why are not so many people following it? Well, one thing is that not that many people are interested in truth. Many people are interested in religion, and of course that's going down day by day also. But more people are interested in religion than in understanding the truth. Religion is often taken as a means to pray to God that, well, I'm having a hard time down here, help me out. Or, as some people say, as a psychological crutch. Or there's a social aspect to religion. People come together and they all feel we're all being good because we go to church on Sunday. And then from church we go to the bar and then we go home and have a roast. At least that's what it was when I was a kid. I don't know if things changed in the meantime. But still the same? Locally. Yeah. So it makes us feel better about ourselves. But to understand the truth, that passion to go beyond all the superficiality and understand who I am and act on that platform, it's not easy, because mostly everyone will not appreciate. And they'll say you're crazy, and you don't fit in with everyone else. Everyone else is just going along with their life. And if you think that, well, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to get born again. I don't want to suffer. I want to get out of all this triviality and understand what is the highest truth. People think you're crazy. It's not that much fun to have people thinking you're crazy. It's not most people's idea of fun. And it requires commitment also. to go against the grain, to follow principles like no meat eating. There should, in spiritual life, there should be some principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no casual indulgence of the senses. That means you might be going past the ice cream parlor and think, well, I'll pop in. But spiritual life means you don't just do whatever you like. This has to be discipline, not to indulge the senses at every moment. The whole modern society especially, everyone is enslaved by their senses. There's so many advertisements, buy this, buy that. So people, I've got to buy this, I've got to buy that. And you can't walk down the street without, there's an ice cream shop and a bar, and then you can buy chewing gum and cigarettes and every coffee, and always there has to be something on the tongue. If you go more than 20 minutes without having some different flavor on the tongue, you feel withdrawal symptoms. So the modern society especially is completely enslaved to what is called sense gratification. That means we always want to interact the senses with some, either with some taste or some smell or something to look at or something to hear or sexual interaction. But this is a trap for the soul. We become trapped on the material platform of the, on the platform of interacting the consciousness with matter. So there has to be restraint, self-control. That is possible. To get the strength, the mental strength to do that, one has to follow a spiritual process. In our Krishna conscious movement, we rise early. We chant the holy names of Krishna. We have a program for fixing the consciousness in Krishna, and that gives strength to overcome these lower impulses. But many people, even though they may be interested in the truth, they come and see that and they think, no, it's too much. And then they go away. Or they take it up at some level. But if we're going to find the truth, there has to be commitment. One has to be very serious. One cannot be a sense enjoyer and at the same time make spiritual progress. Now, that doesn't mean that one has to become a completely puritanical yogi, but that one's senses should be directed toward Krishna. That means we can have nice food, actually the nicest food, but that is food offered to Krishna. Not that we just all the time we're looking for something to eat. And eyes, yes, we can see nice things, but nice thing, we should see Krishna. Krishna means all pure. Krishna means who is beyond this lower platform. Lower platform means lust, greed, anger, mundane anger, envy, illusion, pride, egoism. Krishna is beyond all that. Krishna is raso vaisaha. Krishna is full of spiritual bliss. So we can interact with Krishna and Krishna's devotees, but there requires some disciplined process to take our consciousness away from trying to enjoy and exploit this world and focusing our consciousness on Krishna. So that requires some commitment. Now, we don't expect that many people may take to this. Although actually, anyone can take to it at some level. Just like we're not saying to all of you that you must take to Krishna consciousness fully, or we'll never allow you to come again. No, everyone is welcome to come. Join with us. Chant Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, even without any commitment, one makes tremendous spiritual progress. But if one is to make progressive spiritual progress, then there has to be commitment. So we are advertising, if you want to take it like that. It's not a material advertisement. Advertisements means people are cheating. That advertisement means they show some product to be better than it is to induce you to buy it. But we're advertising in a different way. We're advertising that Krishna consciousness is the highest consciousness. It is the best consciousness. You will be benefited by taking to Krishna consciousness in a way that you cannot be by taking to any other process. This is the best. This is the ultimate. Now, that's up to you to accept that or not. And everyone is welcome to come and join with us and chant Hare Krishna and take prasad, which means Krishna's mercy in the form of food. But if we are to really come to the platform of pure consciousness and properly utilize this rare human form of life so that we don't have to get born and we don't have to suffer again and again, then we're going to have to take up some spiritual commitment. Again, we're not saying everyone has to do immediately, but we are representing the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement here. We are asking you to take a serious look and see what is genuine spiritual life. It's not all the same. It's not that everything with some spiritual sounding name to it is necessarily spiritual at all. And actually, this being what is called Kali Yuga, the age of cheating and hypocrisy, most of what goes on in the name of spiritualism and religion, like everything else that goes on in the name of anything else, is just cheating. Cheating is the norm in the modern age, whether it's advertisements, they're brazenly out to cheat you. The education system is cheating, the whole culture is cheating, religion is cheating, spiritualism is what goes on in the name of that. It's mostly all different ways for people to try and exploit others. But Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, he gives us a process by which we can come to the highest platform, and there's nothing for Krishna to cheat us with, because Krishna's already got everything. Krishna doesn't need anything from us. So this process, if we apply ourselves to it very seriously, we can come to that platform beyond birth and death, in full bliss, eternally, in service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even in this life, we can experience the difference between a life of basically ignorance, though we might have a very good education, but we're living in ignorance because we don't know actually who we are, what is the purpose of life, where we're going to, what happens after death. We don't know who we are. We think we are the body. But Krishna consciousness gives us the knowledge by which we can understand we are not the body, we are spiritual beings. We have our eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Being, who is Krishna, and gives us the process for reviving that. So we request you to look carefully and see, as you are taking the time and trouble to come here, please apply your intelligence and your discrimination to see what is actual spiritual life. And then make a commitment. Don't just come. You can come as long as you like, but you can get the, you can keep on coming week after week. That's very nice if you keep on coming. But the best benefit will come by seriously making a commitment to, and thinking, well, where am I going? I have to die. I have to leave this body. What will happen after that? That is the first thing we should understand. And then based on that, we should make a commitment to living our life in such a way that after death, we don't have to get born again. Which happens. If we just go through our life haphazardly, going one moment to the next, one day to the next, one week, one month, one year, then is one lifetime to the next. So that is our request. Please try to understand, utilize your good intelligence, your sincerity, to understand what is Krishna consciousness. This is not just some cheap thing for talking some empty words about world peace and with no actual basis. Now, what is this? The Pope wants to pray for peace in Syria? Good luck. Is anyone listening to him? They're always praying for peace. They're always having peace conferences. And at the peace conference, all the delegates will come out and they'll all eat their roast steak. They're killing animals and then they think we'll live peacefully among humans. But the very activity of killing, killing, killing creates a consciousness and an atmosphere in which killing must continue. They don't understand. So, please try to understand this. Again, we're saying this genuine spiritual life, but we can have clear knowledge of what's going on in the material world also. There cannot be peace. We can go and tell all the whoever wants peace. Does anyone peace? Anyone want peace in Syria? None of the political leaders seem to want it very much, or anywhere else. But how can we get peace? There cannot be peace as long as we're cultivating the consciousness of violence. It's not possible. The karmic reaction will be there. So all this knowledge we get from Bhagavad Gita. So again, we request you to study that Bhagavad Gita. And there are regular classes conducted here on Bhagavad Gita. And there's the chanting of Hare Krishna. This is bhakti yoga. Yoga means linking. That's the meaning of the word yoga. Nowadays people think that yoga means some exercises. So those exercises, they are part of one process of yoga, which is a very long, slow process, which the exercises themselves have no particular spiritual meaning. But bhakti yoga means the direct yoga of linking with God, with Krishna by devotion. And the most direct process is by chanting the names of Krishna. That brings us directly in contact with Krishna, calling out to Krishna. So please come and join this chanting and try to understand that this Krishna consciousness is not some cheap hocus pocus, but this is the process which anyone can take to. Those who are fortunate, after many, many, many births, they may take to this seriously and get free from the cycle of birth and death and be reinstated in their position of bliss in the service of Krishna eternally. And don't believe me. Why? Why did I say that? Does that mean everything I said was just now is bogus? No, don't just blindly believe it. Try to understand. Try to understand. You'll find, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll see it's not, sometimes it said this is the Hindu Bible, but it's very different from the Bible, in as much as the Bible you're told just believe it. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna, try to understand it. There's a lot of difference, isn't there? Just believe is one approach, and another is understand. Use your intelligence. Try to understand. Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, there is birth, death, old age and disease. It's miserable. Is that a question of belief? If you don't believe, does that mean that you won't suffer? No, we must suffer. Krishna describes how the soul is different from the body. The body is always changing. Our bodies at every second is changing. The body changes from birth to childhood to youth to old age and then death. The body is always changing, but the person, the soul, is the constant factor. So the soul is different from the body. This is not belief. So these are spiritual facts. Please try to understand. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Negativity about feeling good. Negativity about feeling good. You want me to talk more about that? Following from the, for you, feeling good means following from the heart than from the ego. If the soul is part of the Supreme Soul, the soul is part, small part of the Supreme Soul. Feeling good. Yeah, when I spoke negatively about feeling good, I did so in the context of pseudo-spiritualists who talk about feeling good without giving any genuine spiritual process. Just feel good. Well, there are many ways to feel good. You can feel good by injecting with some kind of chemicals. They give some good feeling. But that doesn't release us from ignorance. That is not actually on the spiritual platform. That's why I said that spiritual life must be based on spiritual knowledge of what is actually spirit, what is the soul. Now, we can feel good. We can just feel good. And you say it comes from the heart. But that's not necessarily from the soul. There is the subtle body, as described in Bhagavad Gita, of mind, intelligence, and ego, which are material. And above the platform of the mind, the intelligence, and the ego is the soul. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains there is one level of consciousness which is called sattva guna, which is translated as the mode of goodness. And people in the mode of goodness, they are somewhat spiritual. They don't eat meat. They don't indulge in grossly sensuous activities. They're interested in a pure life, but they don't have clear knowledge of who is Krishna and what is our relationship with him. So they feel good, but they're not situated in the, they're not in the situation where they can actually get free from birth and death. So that feeling good on the from the heart, we can say, that's also described in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna as a trap. That without making that commitment to Krishna and surrendering to Krishna, we feel some kind of happiness just due to being or feeling good. But that is at best a halfway stage. That's also on the platform of the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. Without clear knowledge of who we are and what is our relationship with Krishna, then any spirituality is at best a halfway house. So it's unclear, it's vague, it doesn't take us anywhere. We may feel good, but still we have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease.
that you said. Probably a lot of the times feeling good might be based on somebody's suffering.
Feeling good for many people is based on others' suffering. Yeah, that's a horrible kind of feeling good, isn't it? Taking pleasure in others' suffering. That's a demoniac trait. People of very low and nasty consciousness take pleasure in seeing others suffering. But it's not that uncommon. And although I must admit, to the present day, I've never played a computer game in my life. I don't intend to either. But from what I'm told, many of these computer games, they're based on imaginary scenarios of blasting extraterrestrial beings into 10 gazillion bits, and this is what it's made of. Killing, killing, killing. War games. So that's the consciousness that's being promoted and it's being cultivated by many people. The imagining yourself to be in a position where you're killing others. So it's not surprising when we hear about a kid that's pulling out a gun in a school and killing, because that's what he's doing in his imagination world. So that the pleasure that is taken in destroying others is a horrible pleasure. And spiritual pleasure, I mean, one major aspect of spiritual pleasure is helping others. But that's also often misunderstood on the material platform. If we think that it's very spiritual to feed others and clothe them, it's not necessarily spiritual. Because we find even the ravens, they help each other. The crows, they work together as a group. Dolphins and many animals, they work together. So it's not necessarily much more than a benign animal impulse. But really helping others is to give them the knowledge by which they may be best benefited eternally, and that is the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you can feed someone, and again, they'll be hungry in a few hours. You can arrange for them to go to school so they can get a job, and still they have to die. So the best way to help others is to give them knowledge by which they can become free from suffering forever, rather than giving them facility to live in this world and go on with their illusion of thinking that this world is something, some nice place for us to enjoy. In one way, this welfare work of feeding others and clothing others, it's not only is it temporary help, but in another way, it's anti-beneficial, because it increases the illusion of thinking that this life is all in all, and that to enjoy this world, that is all that life is about. That's one of the... Anyway, I'll paraphrase everything you say when you said it, but that's definitely not the most difficult rule in Krishna consciousness to follow.
Absolutely. But some of the others, and two in particular that we find in Chandra,
And we find that also among our own congregation and our own associates.
And I could add to that, although it's not within the four principles, watching TV.
Which you can equate with gambling,
actually. Yeah, eating as you like, where you like, even if it's vegetarian.
Yeah. But my question was,
Okay, let me try and summarize that. I spoke a lot about the negativity, the suffering of the material world and how we should be serious to come out of it. There is also the aspect of the higher taste. For instance, with meat eating, many people who come to Krishna consciousness, if they have been meat eating prior to that, many also are vegetarians before they come to Krishna consciousness, but to take Krishna prasadam as a substitute to meat is not a very difficult thing for most people coming to Krishna consciousness. Krishna prasadam means the food that is offered to Krishna, and we take it as his mercy. But some principles, they seem to be more difficult to overcome. Attachment to sex, attachment to intoxication, these may be more difficult to overcome. There doesn't seem to be such a, just like with prasadam, substituting for meat, is there any substitute in Krishna consciousness, any quick, easy? Well, actually, Krishna consciousness, as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is quick and easy if we consider that. Otherwise, one would have to go through many, many births. By chanting Hare Krishna, we can become free in this life from all attraction. But in the meantime, the attraction of the whirling, swirling Kali Yuga is, the whirlpool is pulling us in. It seems like that. Strength comes Sange Shakti Kalo Yoga in Kali Yuga by association. In other ages, people would, especially in Satya Yoga, people would go off by themselves and do meditation. But in Kali Yuga, we get strength by association, and by a strong atmosphere is very conducive for Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, he very much wanted to make communities where devotees can live together in our own cultural bubble, away from the, far from the madding crowd, away from this materialistic civilization, because Sangat Sanjayate Kama, our desires arise by association. And it is difficult to have a higher desire when we're always in the conscious, in association with people who are cultivating lower desires. So to have our own communities where devotees can live together, we help to give each other strength, and then higher taste, to have festivals and vibrant kirtans and vibrant discussion of Krishna Katha and high spirits. That is the that may not be a very immediate thing, but it's something that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to set up, these communities. And apart from that, even within the cities, all the centers of Krishna consciousness should be microcosmic Vaikunthas. That Berry Place temple in London was famous still today. And in Soho Street we have that. It's such a difference that you step from London and you step inside a building and it's like you're walking into the spiritual world. There's a completely different atmosphere. So that's up to devotees to create that kind of atmosphere where people can, an oasis in the desert of material life. You may say there's not like the desert, there are so many things going on here, but it's completely dry, completely devoid of any bliss. So where there's Krishna consciousness, there is bliss. There's always, I know myself, the first time I came to a Krishna temple, it was in 1975, and just opening the door, immediately there was this strong smell of incense. Then I walked in, there are beautiful pictures of Krishna, and I saw the devotees, they're all effulgent and bright, and the whole atmosphere was just spiritually captivating. So that should be a help for all devotees, if we have a spiritually strong atmosphere, to make islands of the spiritual world here in the material world. By Krishna consciousness. And that is tangible. If there's plenty of chanting and the spirit of giving Krishna consciousness to others, then the atmosphere is uplifted. It's a distinctly different atmosphere. Yes, please. Yeah, yeah. Next life. Put it off to the next life. Knowledge of the next life might lead us to think, well, okay, this time round I'll enjoy this life, and next life I'll take up Krishna consciousness. The problem with that is that every life we say that. And it just keeps on going like that. Put it off till tomorrow. Procrastination, mode of ignorance, Dirgha Sutri, that's called in Bhagavad Gita. Someone who keeps on putting things off. So, now's the opportunity. Might not get this opportunity for a long, long time. It's not that in the next life it's guaranteed that you're going to get this opportunity. The Vedas describe there are 8,400,000 species of life on this planet and other planets. And not everyone is human. So, if we're in the form of a bug, or a rhinoceros, or a chicken, it's not. We can't understand all these points, we can't take up spiritual life, so better take it up now. Shubhasya shigram. Whatever is auspicious, do it quickly, don't wait. Otherwise, just like if you're hungry, well, I'll eat later. Eat now. Take it now. There's a story of one man, he got a contract for delivering flowers to a temple every day. So he went the first day, and he thought, I'll go into the temple, I'll pray to God. And he thought, no, anyway, I can come tomorrow. Anyway, I can come any day. So every day he thought, I'll go in and pray to God. And his whole life he went on, he never went inside because he thought, any day I can go. And never, anyway, one day he went. There you are, you see? He can see the future. He could see what was going to happen. By Krishna consciousness, you can see what will happen in the future. He could see the room would become full. Now it's happened. People come from all over India and all over the world to bathe in the holy river Ganges, Ganga. There are some people who live right on the bank of the Ganga and they never take baths. Because they think, anyway, I can go anytime. So I'll just take a bath from the tap water. And tomorrow, anytime I can go to the Ganga, why should I bother? It's easier to take bath in the house. And they go the whole life, they never take bath in the Ganga. And other people are coming miles, thousands of miles. They come, they get the benefit, spiritual benefit. And others are thinking, well, why should I bother? I can do it anytime. But then when you die and you get born on another planet, then you can't take baths in the Ganga. So now you have the opportunity. Better take it now. What do you think? Is it a good idea? Does it make sense? Shall we chant Hare Krishna? Chant some more. And then after that, there'll be the higher taste. I hope. Will it be? I mean, you may not understand all this philosophy, or you may not be able to relate to it, but pretty much everyone can relate to a nice plate of spiritual food. It's a good start for everyone. So, Hare Krishna.